Sometimes a quick statement like that can pack a punch. Pray without ceasing. The lesson this morning is in the book of Daniel, although I will bring out some other things in the introduction. But really what I want for you to take home from this, what I believe that the Lord God wants for you to take home from this, is that prayer is paramount, and it is one of the most vital resources available to a Christian, and it should be pursued mightily. It should be pursued with all that we have. Prayer is not a last-ditch effort. Prayer is not the final resource to turn to when you've tried everything else. It is stop number one. And every other thing that you do by way of the power God has put within you, with the strength in your bones and the soundness of your body, it should be done prayerfully and all throughout with thanksgiving. So I want for you to see that this morning. Now, by way of an introduction, there's a statement that Jesus made in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 that has always terrified me. And I think any Christian who is not proud or arrogant will read this and have some measure of pause. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Just because you call Jesus your Lord does not mean that you will enter his kingdom. Isn't that terrifying? You can call him Lord. And you may even be one who could say, "I call him Lord and I do many things in his name, like the casting out of demons, desiring to remove the world of wickedness, many mighty works, many good deeds. Didn't I do all of these things in your name?" And Jesus said, "I will say to them, 'I never knew you. I never knew you.'" Like, maybe there was a degree of outward performance. Maybe there was even an inner intention to perform outwardly, and yet somehow, in some way, there was not a true, sound relationship formed with the Lord Jesus. For him to say, "I never knew you," that means I didn't know you. It's like sometimes on social media, we think we know people. We don't know those people. We see things that they say and do and pictures and posts and words that are made. That's not a relationship. There's no true social media. It isn't truly social. But imagine the Lord Jesus saying to you, and I imagine the Lord Jesus saying to me, "I never knew you. By the grace of God, we have breath in our lungs this morning. By the grace of God, we are here. By his grace, we are above ground. We're living. We have ears. We have eyes. We have hearts. This morning, open them and hear the words of God to you. Be challenged by it. Let it roll over your life. Let it change who you are from the inside out." We should be the people that set the standard and the pace for the world of what true righteousness is. And it will only be by prayer. I've long thought about what Jesus said in that passage, "I never knew you." And of course, in context, there's a couple of things going on. One of them is that those who truly do the will of the Father are the ones who he knows. Now, there's something else that is even preceding that. The bearing of fruit is predicated on being grafted in and tied in to God. It has to do with being connected to him. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. Bearing fruit will come, but it will only come by being grafted in to Jesus. So there is a pursuit of him. There's a closeness of him. There's a proximity toward him. There's a desire to be in his presence. And so you and I, we need that. And so the call and the challenge for today is that we would become people of prayer who choose to pursue God the same way that we would pursue any friendship, in the same way that we would pursue any relationship. Only this one is chiefly important. It is more important even than the relationship with your wife or with your husband or with your children or with your friends or any of your extended family. The relationship with God is first. It was established before marriage was established. God made man in his image, and man stood there in the presence of God before there was a wife, and the companion there was God. Then the human companion followed, but the first one was the relationship with the divine, and that must be our first and our foremost and our chief. The good news is that prayer is not simply a command, as if God merely desires performance. Check this off your box. Do this on a daily basis. Show me that you are subservient. It goes far beyond that. What it is a tapping into the divine power. And from the beginning of the Bible, all the way to the end, you see that prayer is truly the greatest resource in all the world and the most powerful one, the most effective one. James highlights what Elijah did when Elijah prayed that for 3 years it would not rain, and for 3 years it didn't. And when he prayed again, then it did. And James says the prayer of a righteous man has great power. We wish to be powerful people, that is, strong, capable, able to do and accomplish what is before us. How else will we do it besides prayer? In Scripture, it is by prayer that demons were cast out. The toughest of demons would not come out merely by the command of the disciples to whom Jesus gave authority. But when they came to him, they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast out this demon? And Jesus said, this kind can only come out by prayer. In other words, the greatest darkness in the world will only come out by prayer. How are we trying to drive it out? Do you think that it will be driven out by way of mere persuasion of the opponent? Do you think that it will be driven out by human efforts and prowess and whoever has the best campaign? Jesus made it clear there's a kind of evil that is so evil, the only way it can be removed is by prayer. What if we as a church really believed in that? And when we saw the kinds of wicked things that are happening in the world, rather than merely ranting about them, we gathered together and said, let's all come into this auditorium and turn backwards on these pews and put our knees on the ground and our elbows on those pads, and we pray together. Imagine how powerful it would be for 600 people to come together to do that. By prayer, Peter was released from prison, and somewhat humorously, the people praying for him didn't even believe that it would come to pass, but it did. By prayer, we are given the wisdom from above. It is not by mere study and by mere reception of knowledge. There's a kind of wisdom that can only come from the Father, and James says those who ask for it in faith, they will receive it. It will be given. By prayer, we are given every single good thing that God wills. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, it will be given you. Now, of course, the thing that you would ask in His name, you say, well, I asked God for this job, or I asked for this relationship, or something like that. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that is, whatever you ask that is in accordance with my will, then it will be granted to you. In other words, if I could bring my will into total conformity with the will of Jesus, then every single thing I ask for will be granted. Because I will be granted only that which Jesus wills. Prayer is the most powerful thing in all the world. Prayer is the greatest resource in all the world, and it is hardly utilized. When I was over in Zimbabwe with Blaine 2 months ago, we were in Harare, the capital, and there used to be a little mountain, and it is completely carved down because of Chinese operators that are mining for natural resources there. The mountain's gone. You could kind of see one end where it was, and then it's just gone. I think about the lengths that we go to mine for uranium and for lithium and for gold and even for oil, and all of the wars that are fought over these kinds of things, the lengths that we will go, the incredible ingenuity, the strength of mind and the strength of will to go out and to conquer the world in that way, to literally chip away a mountain to extract a resource that will be for profit. Because we believe that by way of these resources, we can power our cities, and by way of powering our cities, we can then accomplish what is before us. We will go to great lengths to mine for the natural resources, but there is a supernatural resource that is immediately before us. And it is far more potent because it is capable not only of powering hearts and families and cities, but it is the means by which the whole universe is powered. The Almighty God. It is by prayer that we have the greatest strength in all of the world. We put our trust in medicine, but do we pray first? We cast our vote, and we're sure to do so. And I would say it is good to do so. But do we pray to God first that He would raise up godly leaders who could even be there in the first place to cast a vote for? Do we pray for that? Lord God, raise up somebody who is righteous. Raise up someone who's not merely in it for personal gain, who's not in it to virtue signal his way to the top and then not do anything that he said he would do. Raise up somebody whose eyes are set on you, Lord God. What if we capitalized on prayer in that kind of way? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. And then I'm going to make some points about it. These are brief points. If you're taking notes, there are 7 of them right here in this little section. The context here is that Daniel is promoted to one of the highest places in Babylon, and there's a new leader. It's now Darius, and the rest of the leadership is very jealous of Daniel's promotion, so they're trying to undermine him, and they recognize there's only one way we're going to get him, and it's if it's in connection with the law of his God. Because Daniel has such integrity, he's not going to do anything that's actually wrong. We have to find some disparity between what Daniel does in his religion and what the code of law in Babylon is. So in fact, they have to make up a law. And the law is that you cannot pray to anyone except to Darius for 30 days. And so that's where this verse picks up. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he'd done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and they said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, didn't you sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction that you've signed, but he makes his petition 3 times a day. Now, I said that I want to make 7 brief points. The first one, number one, is that prayer for Daniel and prayer for us should be. Prayer for Daniel was the priority. That was his priority. And for you and me, it should be our priority. I just want for you to ask yourself, what is your priority? Well, it is answered simply by what you make time to do. That's your priority. You may say, because you have a certain sentiment toward a certain idea or concept, that it is important to you, but if there is no effort extended in that direction, then it is not truly priority. We get done the things first that we believe we should get done. Prayer for Daniel was a priority, and this is seen in that when there was a law that forbade him from doing it, it says Daniel immediately went forth to do it. All through this book, priority number one for Daniel was to pray. When he lacked wisdom and the king needed insight, Daniel went to God to pray. When Daniel was seeking after the wisdom of God later in Daniel, which we'll see eventually, he prayed. Here, when it was forbidden, Daniel went and he prayed. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we say we're the church of the first century, but did you know that the church of the first century did more than just baptize for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38, but more to the story. It goes on to say that they devoted themselves to the fellowship and to the apostles' teaching and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. They were devoted to the prayers. It was priority number one. Is your priority Netflix at the end of the day? Is your priority your child's sporting event? Or is prayer your priority? Number two, prayer was consistent. What does it say Daniel did? It says that he went forth and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he had done previously. In other words, this was Daniel's habit. This was, and I made this point a while back, that this was not something that Daniel decided to do now that a law was against it. Oh, there's a law forbidding it? Some of us have a part of us that when there's something saying you can't do it, we then say, well, now that you say that, I'm going to do it. That's not the way it was for Daniel. He didn't begin doing it simply because a law required him not to. Daniel had done it previously 3 times a day. I suspect this is morning, noon, and night. In other words, he began his day that way. After a few hours in the day, he got down on his knees again to pray that God would help him through it. And at the end of the day, he got down on his knees to thank God for what he'd done for him throughout it. But this prayer for Daniel was consistent. I wonder if our Christian prayers could be described that way. You know, Muslims, they do pray to a false god, but they're oftentimes more consistent than Christians because they will pray consistently. We should pray consistently. Number three, it says that Daniel's prayer was on his knees. Perhaps that's something you would overlook, but there are enough statements in Scripture about this posture in prayer that I think we should take a closer look at it. I don't think it's simply just a one way to pray, but there really is something to it. And I think it even goes beyond the fact that it is a humble posture, because it's the position that you would take, you know, perhaps before a king. That is true, but there is even something within it by way of concentration. You and I both know that when we seek to do our prayers in our beds, in the dark, on our backs, under covers, with cozy pillows, how long do those prayers last? You're just falling asleep in the arms of Jesus. But how many of you would like to be in a relationship with somebody who fell asleep every time they were talking to you? Would you? I wouldn't. This guy thinks I'm the most boring person in the world. Prayer was on his knees, I believe, in part because you can pray for a long time like that. You really can. There's something about that posture. Get down beside your couch and put your elbows on the couch and put your knees on the ground and just pray. Prayer was on his knees. Number four, prayer was full of thanksgiving. Notice that it says he prayed and gave thanks before God as he'd done previously. Now, just think about that. Daniel has a very real threat of death before him. He sees the conspiracy. There's all these great powers against him. And what did he do? What does it first say? He gave thanks. He prayed and he gave thanks to God as he had done previously. There is, here's the reality. No matter the amount of suffering you are enduring, and I know many of you are suffering, whether it is by way of spiritual struggle, we listen to the prayer requests and the many physical illnesses, there is loss. Those things are real, and in the next point, we will capitalize on that. But the reality is that there is always more to be thankful for than there is to be grieved about. Always. Even if the entire world is against you, which it isn't, you have many here who are for you. Even if all of the odds are stacked against you, which they aren't, there are many things still going your way. But even if it were true, even if it could be said that all things in the world were against me, and yet I had God for me, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, then those things which are against you are irrelevant. Who can be against us when God is for us? Even if it's the host of demonic powers and all of the cultural forces of the world and all of the bad things that can be against us, there's still more reason to give thanks. And I wonder what God thinks. I wonder what he hears if the nature of our prayers is such that when we do pray, it is always for something that we wish to have. And when it is granted, we never look back to give thanks for it. And when we think we have a need and we do go to God to ask about it, we do not see the proper perspective that even now I have many things to be thankful for. I am richly blessed. You and I are the most blessed in all the world. We have Jesus Christ who is for us. Jesus commented on the way that God feels about this when the 10 lepers came to him and requested that he give them healing. And as they walked away, they were all cleansed and only one came back. And Jesus was grieved about this. Didn't I heal 10? And why is there only one? The one who gave thanks, Jesus sent on his way and blessed. Give thanks. Whatever you're enduring, still give thanks. Daniel gave thanks. Paul in prison said, rejoice in the Lord always. And you'd say, always? And he'd say, again, I say, rejoice. Give thanks. Number five, prayer was also an urgent plea. And what this tells us is that there is no conflict between going to God and being very thankful for some things and giving an urgent request for other things. It says that Daniel went by way of petition and plea in verse 11 before his God. Daniel was making petition. He was asking. There is no conflict between that. between giving thanks for the many good things God has given and still requesting? Go read in the Psalms. Sometimes in the same psalm, they'll begin with thanksgiving and then they'll register some complaint against the way the world is, and then they'll say, but God, I know you're great, and then praise him again. And all in the mix, you see all of these things. You see petition and you see thanksgiving. Prayer was also an urgent plea, and there are many things that we should urgently plea, that we should make urgent plea before our God about. Number six, this might be one you would just look past, but there's a reason I'm making the point. Prayer was to God the Father. It says repeatedly that he was praying to God. There are, and the reason why I say that is, and the way I believe prayer happens is, it is by the power of the Spirit through the intercessory work of Jesus into the presence of God. But there's direct access. Father, Son, and Spirit is the same God, and yet they all are functioning differently. There's a carrying of the requests and a laying before the Father, and of course, we ask these things in Jesus' name. There's no conflict in talking to Jesus or giving thanks to the Spirit for the power that he gives you, but the prayers are ultimately lifted up to God. In the world in which we live, there is a growing and increasing interest in, and I think it's by those that have been disillusioned by kind of a weak evangelicalism or by a superficial Christianity, that they're cutting out those foundations wholesale and returning to a kind of orthodox faith. There are many orthodox Christian traditions, whether it's in the Roman Catholic Church or the Anglican Church or just the Eastern Orthodox or the Russian Orthodox or Ethiopian Orthodox. But the one thing that's interesting that tie these things together, even though they are different in areas, is that there are prayers made to saints. And there is active instruction to do that. And they will say, we're not worshiping the saints, we are merely petitioning them with requests in hope that they then take our requests to God. I searched through the scriptures. That is not anywhere in the whole of the Bible. Daniel did not get on his knees and request that Moses bring his request before God. Moses did not get on his knees and request that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who'd gone before him, bring his requests before God. In the New Testament, they did not get down on their knees and pray to the martyr Stephen that he would bring their requests before God. In the Revelation, they didn't pray to the fallen martyrs. They went to the Lord God. That is the one to whom our requests should go. And no one else. Prayer is to the Father. And then lastly, the most powerful thing of all is that the Almighty God heard. And he will hear you too. Daniel prayed, made urgent plea, went into the lion's den, and there was rescued. Darius later in the chapter comes to Daniel and he says, did your God save you? Daniel said, yes, he did. He heard. He heard my plea. God hears you. And the amazing thing is that you may go into the lion's den. You may even go into the pit of fire. You may endure many things. And that has no bearing on whether or not God heard. God hears. God desires us to be in relationship with him. Church, we should make a habit of being devoted to prayer in our homes, being devoted to prayer here. When we do our prayer in the evening for the sick, we should also be giving thanks to God for the many blessings that he's given those who are sick and for the many blessings that he has given even to us. God, thank you for our hope in Christ. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the joy that is set before us. Thank you that none of these things have eternal bearing on our souls. And at the same time, Father, we do ask that by your power you would grant healing because you are the one who can do so. There's no one else who can. There's no conflict between thanksgiving and an urgent request. We should be devoted to prayer in every way possible. What if we devoted some Wednesday nights to saying, all of us, let's all come together and get down on our knees and let's pray for a sick church member. Let's not eat that day and let's pray. What if we did that? What if we actually did that? I think it'd be pretty powerful. And it would make us like the New Testament church that we say that we are. Let's be the people of the New Testament church. Commit your life to prayer. If you have any need at all, if you wish to give your life to Jesus, you can come forward while we stand and while we sing.